Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Maybe the most important Hollywood podcast.
Yes. And again, just the block of Hollywood and Cherokee. So it's a very small section of Hollywood, but
yeah, lower still East very important. Hollywood.
Yes, exactly.
We're your hosts. I'm Jesse Gaskell, and with me is Mike Sweeney.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
How have you been?
I mean, there's not a lot going on. I pick it.
Fuck. I have nothing going on. And
yeah.
I was like, well, Jesse's young and vibrant and has a full life. So neither of us have anything going on. Yeah. Well, because of the strike.
Yeah.
I don't have stuff going on.
No, I mean, I'm legally not allowed to have anything going on. So that's my excuse.
Okay, that's good.
We talked last week about how you worked.
Right.
You were in another union at one point.
Oh, right. We were talking about unions.
Yeah. And you were in the, I love this name, the Amalgamated Meat Cutters Union.
Yes. In Northern New Jersey.
Yeah.
I worked at it was called an A&P supermarket. I think they might have gone out of business in the early 40s. And I worked in the deli there. I got a job there.
And you had to join a union.
Yes. I think I got a job there one summer because I had a crush on one of the cashiers.
Oh, that's the best reason.
Isn't that a good reason?
To get
reason?
Any job. Yeah.
What a moron.
That's why everyone gets a job.
And then I eventually.
Did you ever ask her out?
I did. I think when I knew I was leaving because, you know, I didn't want to report to work and. You just strike out and then have to see her every day.
Yeah, right.
So
you even at that age, you were aware of the not shitting where you eat.
Yes. Instinct. Well, it's kind of an instinctive thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was aware of rejection and how painful that is. So, and then the proximity of this. Anyway, yeah, one date, it was one and done.
Oh.
Yeah, it didn't. It was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine.
But you weren't that into it either, it sounds like.
Well, I was into it going into it, but we just didn't, we didn't have a lot to talk about. No, I got the job. It was, I worked at the deli counter and there was this older woman who wore a hairnet. She dyed her hair black. And my first day there, she was showing me how to use the deli slicer.
Mm-hmm.
You ever use one of those?
No, they terrify me.
They are terrifying.
They're really sharp.
Well, she tried to scare me the first day and succeeded. She's like, let me show you how to do this. And she goes, you got to be careful. And I was like, yeah. And she goes, no, look at this. Look at my right hand. And she goes, see this finger right here? I was cutting head cheese.
Oh.
And she knew the date. It was like September 8th, 1963. Customer's like, hey, what's that? You know, why is there blood in my meat? And I looked down, my finger cut clean off. And they sewed it back on, but it was at a weird angle. And then she had two more fingers to tell me about.
What?
She had three fingers.
She was Frankenstein.
Off. Yeah. But they put them all, they sewed them all back. And I think like there was no feeling
but
in
also,
any of them. She could like hammer them with a mallet and, you know.
That's who's instructing you on how to use the machine. Because that wouldn't inspire a lot of confidence for me.
It worked.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I mean, I would just be like, didn't you get any better after that first time? Didn't just not slice your finger off?
She might have done all three within 1 week or something. I don't know. She did it over several years. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to be here several years.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be incredibly careful.
Just go slow. Who cares?
Well, you know what? I cut everything a quarter inch thick. I just literally, it was like one slice. It was thicker than your slice of bread would be for a sandwich. Yeah. And that way, I was very, very,
just give them the whole ham hock.
But then there was a microphone in the deli counter and I couldn't believe it.
What? Oh, yeah, because they called the numbers out.
No, there were no number. I don't know why it was there, but I, I hit the bar and I could hear like, and so I started making fake announcements in the store.
My God, you started your stand-up career
at
the deli counter.
Well, it wasn't stand-up. I would just say like announce like coleslaw battles in aisle three at 6:30. Or I'd say
it was pranks.
Robert Goulet in our dairy section. I would just promo these shows. And
yeah, do people
no one care.
Laugh or do they not even pay
attention? Yeah. You get some laughs.
Yeah.
And the managers, no one cared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just open mic.
It was open mic in the deli section. Open mic and missing fingers. A night.
That's a really formative.
Stand up in digits.
I feel like this one job maybe shaped your whole trajectory.
It did. Yeah, getting rejected by women.
Uh-huh.
Doing stand-up.
Being careful not to slice digits off.
I still have all, look.
You do.
Yeah,
they're beautifully intact.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Speaking of fresh meat.
Oh, what a
is
segue.
Is that a good
yes.
To Dion Cole, our guest today.
Uh-huh.
He's one of our favorite writers, of course. That goes without saying.
Yep. And performers.
And he was in a very famous Kona remote where he took Conan for a meal at a soul food restaurant, Ms. B's M&M Soul Food.
Yeah.
And
Right here in L.A.
And they had a Southern cooked meal, authentic Southern meal. And
it's a funny remote. It's on YouTube.
And he's also going to talk about something called sex sounds. We'll just leave it at that.
Well, sign me up for this interview. Here's Dion Cole.
This is great. Are these walls velvet or what is this?
They look like
velvet walls. Is it velvet for real?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Who has velvet walls? That sounds like
motherfuckers got
Louis the 14th.
We should get someone in a velvet artist.
Motherfuckers
in here to
got money, man. Yeah. They got velvet walls and shit. this is great. I love a come up story.
It's gonna go into.
We used to have those egg cartons.
Yeah.
We used to have the egg cartons.
Stucco,
used to have that, but
it's no, velvet
nothing
now.
Sort of
now.
Sounds
nothing
like
velvets. Like velvets. Yes,
the great.
And not even that, like micro suede. You know, the kind you if you get the cheap couch and it's Scotch guarded. No, it's velvet.
And there's like five cameras at state of the art.
And the cameras look, just got rid of just
every
look at
angle.
That, and they are like all from the ceiling, hanging down on every angle. This is nuts right now.
It's
this is the
crazy.
Best podcast studio I've ever been into in my life, for real. Yeah. Like some hands are going
to
come down and
massage
my shoulders, just hands. Like.
You will not find this in a casino. That's why I had to come over the hill.
Chairs are wonderful. Mm-hmm. They feel so great and sexy. Yeah. They hug you. And sexy green chairs.
Not velvet.
Yeah, not velvet, but we're going to get there, though.
We're going to
get
there.
We got to, it's baby steps, walls, then chairs.
And that door goes out to an outdoor patio.
Oh, really?
Is that crazy?
I actually didn't know that.
Is it more velvet out there? Because I want to go out there and see if it's
that's where we
velvet
grow
patio.
Velvet,
velvet patio furniture. Yeah. Now, if that's not a waste of money.
Scotch garden. Scotch the outdoors. yes, velvet.
It can't get in the rain. Yeah.
It can't get in the rain.
So let's
do it.
You have to buy new ones every time it rains.
That's great.
Let's just talk about how about these coasters? Okay. Real leather. Leather coasters.
They are. No, oh, wait, these are beautiful.
They might be.
They actually are.
They really are leather coasters. No, for real. Crazy. I felt it.
I think they are.
This is
the fall of Rome.
This is the best podcast studio I ever been into in my life.
Well,
real.
It's available for rent. It's funny you mentioned that.
What?
It's like when they give you a timeshare tour.
Yeah, yeah.
And now the hard sell. Well, you seem to enjoy this space.
I'm going to need some 70s posters on the wall, though, if I do a podcast.
Whatever you
like,
want.
Yeah, like afros and big Amazon boobs. Mm-hmm. And yeah, those, you remember those posters?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your space
Thank
here.
You. All right, cool. That's what we're going to do.
Just
right here. He just wanted velvet boob posters. That's all he wanted.
I'm thinking about velvet boobs for real. I mean, that seems like an improvement.
Okay, velvet feels good, right?
Yeah. Right.
Boobs feel great, too.
Wow. Put them together.
Come on now.
Holy cow.
Come on now. I'm with it.
I feel like we're just watching
doing that?
Your next special unfold right here.
You're going to have to rebuild
Netflix
this room.
Presents
Dion Cole, Velvet Boobs.
Because my comedy feels so good, right?
You get it, right? Stand-up special in a podcast studio. Well, he's got to reference the coasters, the leather coasters.
They're all props for his new
That's
special.
Closer.
Yeah, his closer. Is the don't touch the coasters. That's his closer. Yes,
Well, Dion, we've asked you here yet again. Thank you, by the way, for coming back.
Yes,
your pod favorite.
Yes,
here.
Love, nothing but love.
And and we've covered a lot with you already.
Voice,
yeah. Yeah, that was, I know.
Because these microphones are so sexy.
You wanna, yeah.
We didn't even talk about these mics.
We
anyway,
didn't
I'm
talk
sorry.
About the mics,
yeah, but
they
make me take my time with what I say. They make me think about my thoughts.
You would, I feel like you could, on like the Sirius 70s station, you could have like a set. Every week.
I've always said when I am done out here in Hollywood and they go, hey, we're done with you.
we don't want see your
anything
face
from you. I am selling everything, moving to Chicago.
Yeah.
And I'm going to buy me a nice little condo downtown on the Gold Coast.
Okay.
And I'm a go every day, go get me a tea and a newspaper, read it every day. And at night, I'm going to have me a radio job. And I'm just going to play old songs, just like night moods.
That's a great
that
plan.
Great.
Yeah, I'm going to call it Moonburn.
Oh. Moonburn.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
this
great.
Is all set.
Like sunburn.
Yeah.
Moonburn. Yeah. Yeah, like the moon, like I'm out at night and I get moonburn.
Slather on that SPF.
With sexy songs.
I'm worried someone's going to steal it. We'll cut that out.
Somebody,
this,
yeah, cut that out. Somebody
steal
might steal Moonburn, right?
Yeah.
This is too, this, I love it. This is your plan B, but this sounds like... I would aspire to
I'm
this.
Telling
this
you
is
the truth. Though.
Everything.
I thought about this over
want.
And over again. I'm gonna and I'm gonna be on the radio and I'm just gonna play like you know old school jams and just you know that's and it.
Or I just like hearing you talk. Like you do when you kick it in. Yeah, that voice. It's you just.
I'm
like,
gonna start stuff and then I'm not gonna finish it. And I'm just gonna go straight to a song. Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that.
Today doesn't matter.
Today in Texas. This is Jodeci with Stay With Me.
He talks in incomplete sentences. I don't care.
Everyone listening is drunk
That's
or high.
How you get
anyway,
everybody
okay.
to keep listening.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I guess this is what a moonburn feels like. I hear he has tea by day and moonburn by night.
Right.
Those are the effects of moonburn. You don't finish your sentences.
Well, can I bring something up?
Yeah.
And you cannot talk about it, but it's one of my favorite.
Please.
When you were in the writer's room at Conan, of course you were a longtime writer at Conan.
Yeah.
And Jesse, I don't know if you were there yet for this.
No, I wasn't.
No.
I know I wasn't.
All right.
Because I took Dion's office after he left.
That would have been awkward if he was
still
there.
No.
I was triggered
a little
over.
Bit. Yeah, I was triggered a little bit, but no, go ahead.
Oh, you guys never overlapped. I don't remember.
Well,
anything.
I wrote on Dion Cole's Black Box.
Oh, so right.
Yeah.
That's
we
right.
We did
of
overlap,
course.
But not at Conan.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I've seen it in Jesse from day one.
Dion's right. the only we one who believed
day
in
one,
me.
I was like, I have to have Jesse on my team.
Yes.
Straight up.
That was the best.
So you basically you're responsible
like,
for
all
Jesse.
You men don't want this woman down here. I'm
he picked me up
I'm
off the curb. Yeah.
I'm taking the woman with me. She's No, I'm just playing.
No, it was
true. He's responsible for you.
For pretty much my whole career.
I would
honestly
say so.
Man, love. She was amazing.
Yeah. Back then she was.
I was just starting out, full of fire.
Those are the days.
I know.
Ambition.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I don't want to step on what you were gonna say.
So I will get around to it.
Okay.
Please,
okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You first.
Oh, okay. Well, somehow one day we were just sitting around the rice room shooting the shit at night. Mm-hmm. And you brought up how you did sex sounds. You made that video.
Oh.
Have you, the CDs, have you ever talked about that?
I never talked about it.
What?
Do you mind talking about it?
So, yeah. So, yo, I went over to Germany, right? I went to Germany and I was performing for like the troops over there. And I brought my PlayStation over there, right? And so while we was over in the red light district, they had all these pornos like on DVD and whatever. And we was like, man, let's get a few of these, you know? Because the German women cost so much. Like for us to pay for, they was too much, so we can't.
You could just get the DVDs.
Yeah, we didn't have to have sex with them. We save our dollars, right? Save our money and just get the DVDs,
and
right? And then we can do whatever whenever we want to.
I remember this part of the story.
Yeah, this is the part I left out. So we bought these DVDs. We bought these DVDs, and we went back to the hotel and we put them in, and they wouldn't play. Because we had American PlayStations.
And it was the wrong formatting.
So the format was wrong.
Oh, they screwed
you.
So
all you can do was hear them. And so they just, so they was just like, put it here, don't you move, don't you stay there. And it was a few of those. I don't know why that turned me on. But so I was like, this is crazy that I can't see him and I was going to get my money back. But then I kept listening to it, and I was like...
Was it almost...
No,
it's better, maybe, sometimes. Because
no,
you
like,
can use your imagination.
Thank you. And that's what happened. I was like, wow, you can just listen to this.
Yeah.
And then you use your imagination. So I was like, man, when I get back to the States...
Right.
I'm going to record some sexual sounds. I did.
Uh-huh.
I made a whole CD
just by yourself,
of them.
Or did you have
no,
a lady?
No, I got a whole production team.
You
and
had
I grabbed
a cast?
Friends, and I grabbed like a Hispanic lady, a white woman, a black woman. I had my two of my guys. Diversity
was
a
different sound.
Because it's different. Right, Sweeney, it is. People think I'm joking. I'm dead ass. I'm dead ass serious. I went in, I made the CD, and we put it together, and it was great. We had like 12 tracks on there.
Yes,
you remember that, right?
Did they have names? Did the tracks have names?
Did you bring it in?
It was like three. I played it for you, remember?
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, it was like...
Oh, my God, in the writer's room.
Yeah.
Was everyone like, excuse me one moment.
Each of you gets an hour alone. Dion's CD.
Everyone gets an hour lunch. Everyone gets an hour lunch today. I made a whole CD and put it in shops and was selling. They were selling.
I bet it was.
Yeah, they were selling.
Yeah.
What happened was in Chicago...
Right.
There's this thing called the mob.
Right.
Oh.
And the mob, I know this get deeper, right? The mob owns a lot of the porno stores, the home business. They run that. And so they wanted all our money, basically.
Yeah,
they wanted
to give us like,
we were selling it out of the porno shops, but they was like, nah, you got to give us more. And we like, well, we ain't going to be able to really make no money if you take all our money. And they was like, nah, that's the only way you can sell out our shops. So then we tried to go to Milwaukee and sell some, and they owned the porno shops in Milwaukee.
The mob
too.
In Milwaukee.
They was running.
The Milwaukee mob?
Totally mobbed up.
And, I'm telling you. The
Where can you go?
And so we just was like, you know what? Let's not do this.
It's not worth it.
Let's get a writing job, and I'll play it for the writers. And what if we were all mobbed up too?
Let me go write for Conan. Conan O'Brien in the Tonight Show.
To
and
he's so horny.
And we quit making them. Yeah, we stopped making them. Yeah, but
because it could. I mean, now I'm like, it could. That could be a podcast. I don't know.
Yeah. You
could
sexual just, sounds.
Yeah,
yeah, my podcast
or a radio station.
Just an hour of that.
Today I'm with Tanika. How are you, Tanika? What sounds do you make during missionary?
Let's leave 20 minutes at the end of this and just play.
And we'll all take turns.
Sexual
yeah.
sounds. And I had a poet on there. His name was Danny.
What?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. That.
He did like sexual poetry on the CD.
That does sound sexy.
It was great.
Yeah.
I made like money. I was making money.
Wow.
And then they seen how much money I was making. So they decided.
They
wanted a piece of it. And I just was like, nah, I'm not doing that. So I stopped doing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a real entrepreneur. Streak too. Yeah. No, you do. Like, I feel like you have
you get
had a lot
done.
Of.
I do get things done.
Business
I don't
ideas.
Know where they go, but yeah. I do get them done. That's what I do. Because I feel like, man, you just never know. You got to keep throwing darts. That goes anything in life. You just got to keep doing. You don't know what you're good at.
Yeah.
I might be honest with you, I might be the greatest astronaut the world has ever seen.
That's right.
We don't know, though.
Well, they're starting up the program again.
And I probably I can go to space.
And Shatner went to space.
I'll be spacing it up out there. Shit. Yeah, I'll be getting my space on.
Sex sounds in space.
Sex sounds in space.
I think that would
they
be a big
need
hit.
It.
Yes. They do need it.
They do need it. There's no question they do.
Now, you know they need sex sounds in space.
But when you play
no
that
CD. No one can
CD,
hear you scream.
And we heard you making sex sounds after we had spent like, you know, a year and a half with you.
Yeah.
Just
yakking. Just hearing that other side of you.
Oh, yeah. It was like, you don't even know. Man. You haven't even scratched the surface.
We were.
With Dion.
It was some good laughs.
So much more Dion to know.
Laughing so hard.
It was so crazy.
I mean, you had to be there. But
no, but it was real good. Stuff. That's what the beauty of all of us was sharing.
Yes, those times.
Our lives with each other. Yeah. Just going, what? Because y'all do shit. And I'll be like, huh? Right. What? What in a squash? What? What the fuck is that? Yeah,
that
they eat some shit
sense.
Called butternut squash up here. I don't know what the fuck that shit is.
And they record themselves eating it? Like, what's
shit?
With that?
I don't know what's going on. I'm going to hang out for a few more weeks and I'm out of here.
What were some other good ones? Do you remember any
I remember this butternut squash.
Yeah.
No, for real, Allison had butternut squash and I was like, what? I don't know. I'm not
I'm
eating
with
that.
You on that.
One day I showed up, it was a purple elephant or something like that, a giraffe or something on the lot. It was just always some shit
just
when you
circus.
Show up.
Oh, yeah, the Warner Brothers lot. Yeah, it's weird.
We had it.
Oh, we had it?
Yeah, we had it. It'd be just, you show up and you'll just see shit. And I'll just look and just walk to my office.
That costs $1 million. There's $1 million in that elephant. Well, we did want to ask Dion, this season of Inside Conan is all about remotes, Conan remotes.
Yeah.
And you did a lot of them when you were there.
Yeah.
And they're some of people's favorites. And so, you know, we wanted to talk to you about a couple of the, like the soul food remote people talk about all the time.
Yes, golly.
Yeah. How did you pitch that? Did someone else pitch that? Do you remember?
Me and you. I don't know if you remember.
Wow.
Me and him, I was talking to him.
Yeah.
And I told
him has a name.
Mike.
No, Mike.
And Mike is talking. And I know you don't remember this. I told you, I was like, I'm going. I think we was on like Thanksgiving break or something like that. And I told you, and you was like, how's your Thanksgiving? And I said, it was great, man. I was like, came home, my mother made some food, put in some Cool Whip bowls and brought it back. And you was like, Cool Whip bowls? And I was like, that's what black people do. We put our food in bowls and Cool Whip bowls, almost like Tupperware.
Okay, my mom actually has Cool Whip bowls.
She got Cool Whip bowls?
Yeah,
I know, right? Yeah, so you put your food in there and bring it back.
For butternut squash.
It is for
butternut squash, it really is. And you was like laughing, and we was just laughing. I was like, we had soul food and da-da-da. And I don't know how we started talking, but I was like, what's the difference between soul food and southern food?
Yeah.
Like, I just kept thinking, right. like, what is
the
difference?
What gives
it the soul? Yeah, yeah. What, and what gives it the Southern? Because they both the same things, basically, right? And I was asking, I said, I wanted to count, has Conan ever ate soul? Because one of the writers said they never had soul food.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's weird. And then I was like, I wonder if Conan ever had. And Conan said he never did.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think you asked Conan. He was like, Conan said he never had soul food. Yeah. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. And he was like, yeah. And
that's
so we was like, yeah, and that's how it came about. Like,
perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should take Conan and go get some soul food. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that'd be great. So I picked this place called M&M's.
Had you been there before?
In the hood. Yeah, I went there before. It was in the hood. Like, Conan should get some street cred for this right here.
Although and now it's probably like there's Lululemon there. Yeah.
No, and I was late, so.
So he was waiting.
Just to give him the full experience. Yeah. You know? Just to get Conan the full experience. I got there. He was like,
did you get him a little uncomfortable? God, yeah.
It's like, sorry, brother. Sorry. This is how you got to get here. You got to get here. Like, but we went in there, man, and it was like, couldn't believe this dude. He was just wilding.
Yeah. He was.
Were you kind of just like,
I had to
he was in fine form.
I had to fall back because he was in a world. One thing about Conan, you put Conan, and what that's so great about all the travel remotes and everything, as you know, you put Conan in a world he ain't familiar with, it's lights out.
He'll just start.
And he knows.
Lights tap dancing, out,
and he knows
he
it.
Literally is like,
he knows. I had to fall back. That whole remote, I think I said maybe four things.
I noticed that, and I was wondering, like,
there was no room.
Yeah, there was no room. Yeah,
that whole remote. He just when he's in a world he ain't familiar with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lights out.
You know what?
Cut the leash.
It's like the
cut the leash and go.
It is tough. You are describing a perfect. I remember when we were on tour and they were shooting that documentary, and like the second that camera would come in, he
lights out,
out, and it was just like, wow, it's like oxygen.
That's
to
where
him.
He comes
those
alive.
Cameras,
oxygen,
It's amazing. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, and we was there, and the woman came up. Hey, let me get your order. And Conan like, yeah, let me get this.
Yeah.
Fried bologna, and I want. He was ordering shit black people don't even eat. But I was over there like, I ain't no fried bologna.
That's just
bologna.
On the menu as a test. Yeah.
And the Kool-Aid. I remember that Kool-Aid he drank. Yeah, he was like this. Oh, God. Oh, wow.
I was wondering how
much
he actually...
I think I got diabetes. And then there was a black dude sitting over there eating, watching him say that. He's like, I think I got diabetes. And the black dude...
Yeah, that cut away.
Like,
what
the fuck you talking about diabetes, motherfucker? Cut us off the rails, yo.
How much of the food did he actually eat?
He ate that shit. Like, for real.
You know, he does like fried food. I was going to say, like, he's not the most adventurous eater, but he does like something fried.
Oh, man. We ate
unhealthy food.
Yeah, it was like smothered shit, chicken, and he ate. Like, we sat there and ate that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did not ask if I knew he ate. I just know that's like.
Yeah, no, we ate that shit.
Well, because there's a wipe in the remote, and I was like, okay, who ate it while they were.
So it was exaggerated.
Sure.
You know how we, but. Did he eat?
But he puts them down. Okay.
He ate. Yes,
okay,
he did.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, he ate. No, it was crazy. That was a great remote. The Haunted House was a great remote.
Yeah, I was wondering about that one, too.
Universal. That was when we were still the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And you went to, because that's a big thing here, Halloween.
The horror nights, yeah.
And you went through the Haunted House.
I went through all the Haunted Houses.
It was funny.
And then I said they was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But what'd be really funny is if we had a black haunted house.
Yeah.
And we built this black. That's the crazy shit that we built.
Yeah, where did you build that?
On Universal Live. We built a black haunted house.
Yeah.
Like instantly.
Yes. Right. That's so cool.
That was the thing that used to trip me out over here. You'll have a thought and that shit just.
Right.
Yeah.
The thought from
people
a thought
can make
to,
your dreams come true. Yeah.
There it is. We had a black haunted house done.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy like that. Yeah.
Then you have to go like, shit, what Yeah. Like, well, go ahead, shoot what, shoot your idea.
And it's shoot your idea. That was great. Then I went to the Republican National Convention.
Oh my God.
Right.
Yep, I did a remote while I was
there. Was that in Florida?
Yeah, that was in Tampa, Florida. I flew there. I interviewed John McCain.
That's crazy.
You actually interviewed John McCain?
Yeah, it was on the show. Yeah, I was with John McCain. He had a whole squad with him, and I was asking him something about Bush. And I was like, he ain't around, and we just started laughing and joking and shit. And like, we was, I can't really remember the remote, but we was, I know we was laughing and kicking it. And then it was black people there, and it was just like this, like, you down? And I was like, no, motherfuckers, I'm here, I'm making fun of you.
Yeah.
They were trying to hug me.
No.
And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Don't hug me. Yeah. And they was looking at me like, hey.
And I was like, yeah, they were like, I know everyone, all the other black people here.
That's pretty good.
It was so weird. I was like, look, man, don't put my political shit out there. I was like, I'm here to make fun of everybody. That's what I'm here to do and shit. But yeah, it was fun. That was a great remote to do. Because it was like a 3-day remote that I did on that.
Yeah.
And that's real. Like, also, you need the press pass. Like, you have access. It feels really legit.
I got kicked out.
Yeah.
Because you went up or
something,
You went up to the podium during a...
I went to the podium. It was like,
off hours, and that was it.
And they kicked me out because they thought I... put some shit on the microphone, the podium and Secret to Secret Service.
I remember
that you had put like anthrax or something on there.
I'm going to tell you who not to fuck with in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Secret Service.
Yeah.
Do not fuck with Secret Service.
I believe that.
I believe you.
They kept us for like 3 hours.
Really?
Hell yeah.
What did they do?
They just kept us in a room. They took us all the way in the basement as convention shit.
You and, was it Jose and Matt O'Brien?
Yeah, it was Matt O'Brien and Jose and us. We was all.
Jose Royal.
Yeah, and they locked us up down there. Like, not locked us up, but they kept us there.
And windowless room, like, no cell service,
they
probably.
Was like, until they figure out who we was and all our press credentials went through, then they let us go.
Did John McCain come down and spring you guys?
They're with me.
He's with me. He's with me.
Wow, I forgot about that part. That is scary. Yeah. Well, just even going into that, like an entirely different world, that's so radically different. And everyone there you know is just lives a different life
than we're
all used to.
I feel like if you haven't been detained by the Secret Service, you haven't lived.
That's exciting.
That is exciting.
It was crazy. We was
that's
all
a bucket
over
list
there,
thing.
Like, yo, we was like, damn, we was all sitting there waiting. We was like, when are they going to come back and let us go?
Yeah.
And then finally they came and they was like, y'all can go.
Okay.
And then they told me
I couldn't come back. Yeah.
Did we show that? You going up there?
Yeah. And they said I couldn't come back. And then I guess.
I didn't want to come back anyway.
No, but I think they got me a pass to go back.
Oh, okay.
And they got me a pass to go back, but they said I
you
can't
come back without a pass. Here you go.
Tonight's show was a blast.
It was so great.
Mm-hmm. Those 7 months.
So great. Running down the street in the rain. Team Coco.
Oh, right.
Team Coco.
That was crazy. That was
crazy.
Wait, what was that?
That was when the shit hit the fan, and then Conan released that letter, People of Earth.
Oh, people showed up.
And then there was like a rally outside
our
studio.
Oh,
there were hundreds.
Like picketers?
A Lancashire, the whole block.
I've never even talked about this. Then we went up on the roof of our studio with Conan, right?
Yep.
And did like a... kind of an appearance, like on the balcony, you know, like the Pope.
Like, yeah,
but it was
a throne.
Everyone went crazy. All of Lancashire, these people went crazy.
Wow.
It was crazy. Yeah. It was like if he made an appearance, it was just like, it was just like hundreds and thousands
very
of
surreal.
People. And then we started walking down the street with the people. And then started running. It was raining. He running down the street. Everybody running on the side of him. Like,
and it's like, where are we going?
I know, running with Conan. Everybody's just running and shit. That shit was crazy.
It's like, okay, time up.
Yeah, I got back on the phone like, and these motherfuckers running down the street, eating butterscotch. In the rain.
They don't have anything better to protest than this.
But Yeah, I'll call y'all back when more happens.
Yeah.
No, but it was no.
Like,
it was,
we need a recession soon.
It was phenomenal.
It was
phenomenal.
A little,
yeah.
It was a little crazy.
Phenomenal, crazy, yeah. crazy.
I know. I always forget because you were at the Tonight Show for mm-hmm. like a year, right before it ended,
and then
maybe not even that long.
Was 7 months.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
So,
it was
did,
there's. Dion was there for a year though.
Dion did stand up on the Tonight Show,
right?
And then we hired him right after
right.
that.
Do you know my hiring process?
I do, yeah.
Did they tell you how I got hired?
Yeah.
It is wild. I finished, went in the green room. Mm-hmm. Conan came in there and talked to me about parking spaces.
And he just assumed.
Like, he was like, you got parking space? And I was just like, yeah. Parking I'll garage and shit. And he was like this, yeah. Don't you hate parking at meters and shit? And I'm just like, yeah. And we started talking about that for a minute. He was just uh-huh. like, great job, man. Tore it up. I was like, thanks. And he left.
You passed the parking
that
meter.
That was it. That was it.
Next
test.
Thing I know, they yeah. were like, hey, you want to come right? I was yeah. like, what?
You don't know me.
Right. What?
Sure.
I guess.
I'll do it.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack. And save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses. Plus, updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've talked to you before about how it kind of took a while for you to figure out, because you were, and I think that's common. There's a lot of stand-ups that, you know, then they're asked to write for a show that has its own thing going on, mm-hmm. and you now suddenly have to, like, conform your kind of writing to that show.
And, yeah. and you're writing for someone else.
Yeah, you're writing for
voice.
Someone else, and it's just...
It's a giant adjustment.
Right. But once you kind of crack the code and you figured out, like, oh, you could do stuff, too... You could star in things, or you could go do remotes on your own even. Mm-hmm. It seems like that opened up things for you a lot.
I think it was more like, this is a well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into this machine, you got to know this machine in order to get in it. Mm-hmm. And it was like... From every angle, it just, to me, it felt like I just could not get in there.
Yeah.
But then I started realizing that one thing that they don't have is another perspective. It's another perspective that they don't have, and mm-hmm. I think it's mine. And it came not even me knowing, you know what I mean? It wasn't even like I knew what I was doing. I just knew I was ready to leave. That was what I did know. I was like, all right, I got to get out of here.
So you had like a last ditch.
In my mind, yeah, I just was like, you know what? I'm going to get on out of here.
This was day two.
Yes.
Day two, you're like.
about About 23 hours, not all the way day two. So, no, but I was just like, you know, I was like, we was writing, we were talking about Oktoberfest for Andy.
Mm-hmm. Right,
Andy
right.
was, and I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what it was. And so at this point, I really don't give a fuck what I'm saying now because I know I'm about to leave soon. So I'm like this. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And they was just like, it's the German drinking day. And I was like, and then Sweeney and it was looking like, what?
Germans,
I was like,
are we like, okay with them?
I just was like, everybody.
We knew you knew German porn.
I knew
we
that.
You'd also
I knew that, but not the drinking. Yes, right. I knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go
German
ahead.
Porn is go what ahead. We should guys, be doing guys. This whole skit about. No, but I just was like, black people don't have a drinking day. And I was like, that's fucked up. We got Cinco de Mayo, we got Oktoberfest, we got all this shit. And I don't know if it was Sweeney or somebody. They're like, man, write that up. Mm. And it was just like, when I'm going, well, like, what?
Right.
Spent all this time trying to get in.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And then that was what
you just said something.
And I just said something on the whim and it was like, write that up.
Yeah.
And it was like, what? And I mean, I was like, oh, yeah, I write it up. I was like, Sweeney, help me write this up, Sweeney. I don't know how to write this up.
And like,
we wrote it up, and then we sent it. And we sent it for Conan to do. It still wasn't me. It was still didn't write it like me doing it. It was like, yo, he can talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And when he read it, he was just like, you do it.
Yeah.
It was just that simple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, I guess. All right. And it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then after that, it was kind of like,
oh, I can just do my stand-up.
But it wasn't even my stand-up. It wasn't even my stand-up. It was just a thought, like, it was quick thought. But I think that was, like, right at that moment, it was like, that's it.
Yeah.
Do you.
Yeah, and the nickel dropped, and then
it was like, see, a lot of people go out, and they go do jobs, and they go do whatever they do, and they go be that person that people want them to be.
Yeah.
But what a lot of people forget, they forget to bring themselves with them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You got to bring you with you everywhere you go.
Yeah, and that's the reason you got hired.
But that was also the reason that made them go, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Because they went... Yo, like you basically being you now, like, we can't do that shit. We can't even think like that. Like, that's it. And then after that, we was off to the races
it opened
after that.
It up for you. I love that story because it does, I think that's true. What you're saying is so true that people try to fit the square peg in the round hole and they're just trying to fit in somewhere and you're trying to change yourself all the time to fit a certain mold. And sometimes it's just about finding a place where you can do your thing.
Man, that person in the mirror, people leave that motherfucker at home every day.
Yeah.
They look at them and go out in the world and be whatever the fuck the world wants them to be. When that's the person that's going to keep you around. You got to take that person in the mirror with you and shit. But I wasn't even thinking like that. I just was like, this is how you're supposed to write in late night. This is how you do. This is
butternut
the formula.
Squash.
I'm looking at them. It's so intimidating to walk into a motherfucker's office and it's an Emmy and it's an Emmy sitting on that motherfucker.
Well, those are a dime a dozen. But
you walk in there like, my ideas ain't good enough. Let me get out of here. Shit. Like, you just be like, you know what I mean?
Everyone who's ever walked in, including I remember my first day, you're just filled with terror because you're coming into it, especially when it's an established show. And
the like, writer's room and they're going like a mile a minute and everyone's like back and forth.
And you're like, they're going to, I was terrified to open my mouth, you know? And then if you say, pitch an idea and everyone's like, you know, when it's like, and they just run right past you. And it's like, fuck. You just,
I got the pity laughs. Yeah. So
then you're just like, fuck. And then you're out of your head.
Yeah.
But that mirror, that's some of the best advice I've ever heard. It's so simple.
Yeah, it's good
bring
advice.
the the person in the mirror with you.
Yeah, bring you with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are exceptions, like in my case. But that guy.
Leave him at home.
That guy is
leave
a
him
drag
in a dark
on the sales.
Leave him in the car.
I'm always like, what do I do about you? What are we going to do about you? But that is great advice. I think that's really great advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hard to
man.
Do, but you got to keep that in mind.
That experience with everybody was the game changer in everything that I did from that day
really,
on.
You that's kept that in mind
because I already
at other projects.
I had
too.
That mm-hmm. on my own, but mm-hmm. then when I got with this well-oiled machine, mm. I just discredited everything about me.
Right.
In order to trying to figure out how do I get into this, right. man? That shit was hard as mm-hmm. fuck to get. I'm like, how do I get, right. I can't. I'm trying my best, man. It just ain't working and shit. And the writers are so quick and so sharp. And mm-hmm. next thing you know, I'll be looking at my notepad like, we're done. All right, let me go to lunch. Let me go you know what I mean? Not like that, but in a sense where it's like, I can't.
Well, there's like a shorthand
it.
Once you're doing, like any job where you go in and you're like, I'll never, any job I ever had, I'm like, fuck. I gotta learn all this.
And that's and, what and it never,
yeah, you're just figuring out the email. Imagining. And yeah. And,
and then 6 months
you
later,
also have to be hilarious. Right.
Right. 6 months later, you're like, oh, you're helping someone new out, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh,
exactly.
I guess. Then,
yeah, you get it.
I guess it. I learned. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I learned it.
Yeah, yeah. But man, those first days.
And now look at this loser.
It's so funny. In my memory, like you broke in really fast, but I bet in your mind, every minute,
It took a full day
before you broke it. It was like, oh my, it must have seemed endless.
Every day was a week.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Every single day was an entire week to me.
Yeah.
I would leave there, pull in front of my house and sit in my car for like an extra 30, 40 minutes just to get my mind together for tomorrow.
Oh my God.
You know, not like, not even I'm treated. It was nothing that, it was all me going, how do I crack this code?
Right.
I cannot figure out how to do this. I just could not.
Yeah.
And it was when I quit thinking.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's when the shit hit.
Yeah. No, that's so true.
It's like you're in your own way.
Right.
And then people are in their own way a lot of times. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't get through to that because of you. Mm-hmm. You got to quit overthinking that shit.
You're overthinking. That shit.
If I would have kept going, how do I do this? I'd have never had, because now I'm thinking
hard. Right. Yeah.
I'm thinking too hard. So now I'm making it way more complicated. Right. Mm-hmm. You ever go order some food and it's real simple order and it's so hard for them to understand? You ever had that? You go in there and you just be like, yeah, let me get a Caesar salad. No cheese, no croutons. Yeah. Just with shrimp. And they go, wait a minute.
That's not the Caesar salad.
That's a whole different salad there. Well, no, it's a Caesar because it still has, you know, the sauce. So hold on. You want a... It gets complicated when it's so simple.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Am I making sense?
Yeah.
We were a shitty restaurant. We were like,
great restaurant. It was so great.
Well, so have you had experiences, because you said you've kept that up since then. Is that, mm-hmm. has that helped you out in other situations where you maybe didn't feel like, I don't know, you came into something and you thought, how do I change myself? But then you realized just keep
no.
doing it.
So I still take it with me to this day or whatever. Like, what I learned in this business, man, is that, you got to be confident in what you do and you got to be compensated for that in a sense, you know, because they only going to pay you what you worth to them. They're not going to pay you what you're worth. They're going to pay you what they think you're worth. And so therefore you have to like sit back and go, nah, if I'm doing this, this, and this, and this, then yeah, I should be getting paid for this. And me staying with you means you need to pay me more, because if I leave you, I probably can go get double some goddamn where.
Yeah.
So you got to pay me for staying with you as well. You know what I mean?
Even while you think about what you want to do
with me. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And after a while, you go from thank you to you're welcome. Hmm. Sometimes you got to know when to say.
This is upsetting me because I never did any of this.
Sometimes you got to know.
Never
you got
to
know. You got
Fuck.
To know when to say you're welcome, yeah. motherfuckers. You really do. Yeah. Like you can start with saying thank you, but mm-hmm. at some point you're gonna be like, you welcome, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you get to you welcome, motherfuckers, it's time to, you know, hey, we got to talk about these dividends mm-hmm. a little differently or whatever. But you, me knowing what I can do,
yeah,
that's what I learned from Conan and that whole situation. It's like, oh, I have another avenue that I can bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So now if I go to this other well-oiled machine, I go, hey, I got this to bring y'all. And then they go, oh, wow, I ain't never seen that before. Yeah, yeah, we get that. Okay, well, yeah, let's go. Let's play ball. But yeah, it costs this.
Yeah.
And this is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm more confident in what I can bring to the table mm-hmm. and knowing me and bringing myself to every situation now. And that's what I learned from Conan. Never to waver from who I was mm-hmm. to fit in somewhere. And to this day I'm like that right now. You know?
That's great.
I'm always gonna bring them what I think and hope that I can bring to better the situation.
And you've had so many different acting roles and often in comedy, like do you bring yourself into that in terms of, you know, I imagine a lot of times they're there with a script and you might think, oh, like, do you get to improvise at all? Or that's probably a tough road to walk to know when.
Yeah, when they want you to or not.
Because sometimes it's like, hey, man,
yeah,
just do what we wrote.
Read the words.
But I imagine people will hire you. Probably know what they're getting. Like they know they're getting someone who's with a stand-up background, and probably maybe they seek out your input on what's on the page. Maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Like if I take on a job, 9 times out of 10, whoever hired me know that there would be some type of ad lib involved.
Good,
you know, and it's cool.
So that's nice because then that's kind of liberating. I would say.
Yeah,
think, right?
Exactly. Like they have to know that.
Yeah,
you know, and they do know that, and I tell them that out the get go that we have to ad lib. Like a film I did recently, You People.
Right, I saw that. You were great in that.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks. That was a cameo in there, but the whole cameo was ad-libbed. Yeah.
Oh, really?
The entire cameo.
Wow.
The whole thing.
I'm going to hire you for everything. You're like, I didn't write this scene. Take it away.
Kenya Barris, my brother Kenya Barris. Yeah. I love him to death. He had these lines, right? And we had mm-hmm. the lines, and we was going through the lines, and we did them or whatever, but Kenya is just so good at just, man, if it feel right, like, mm-hmm. let's just go.
He's like, do that. So, yeah.
Man, and he just trusted, and we rolled, and man, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Eddie, they was going back and forth mm-hmm. with me, and there was some other super funny stuff, too, that it just didn't make it, but we was going for a very long time. But the ad-lib is very important, you know what I mean? Because you can give a comedian lines to say, and you really, as long as they say what the lines is supposed to mean, then that's good. But you're really not doing them justice if you really don't let that comic really get down, you know?
Yeah.
Like if all of us right now walked outside and saw a car accident, it's only one car accident.
Right.
But we're going to have 5 stories mm-hmm. about it.
Hilarious stories.
Hilarious
about
stories
the bloody
about
body
this.
In the street.
And we're all going to have a different...
I'll remember what they were wearing.
Exactly. So I remember what they were wearing, right? But that's how... It's like you give me the script, I can say the lines like any actor. Mm-hmm. But if you let me say the lines, you know... The way within the guidance of how you want it to be or what you want to be said, but if you let me say it the way that I can say it, mm-hmm. I'll be doing something you didn't even think about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so just allow that. So directors that's cool with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like we always find some kind of magic. Yeah.
Well, that must relax you when you feel like
that too.
They know who they're working with and they want you to bring that. But
yeah.
But I would think just in the scene you mentioned, and you're talking about bringing the person in the mirror, like Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Eddie Murphy, that's, I mean, what was it like working with them? Was that scary or did they put you at ease or?
Nah.
Just hearing that on paper, I'd be like, oh, wow, that would intimidate me.
I was scared.
Yeah.
But at the same token, again,
right.
I know you probably just thinking I'm probably just saying this, but
no.
I resort back to that all the time, which is, I'm going to give them something that they haven't seen.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And not in that. But I'm learning from them too though.
Yeah,
I'm learning.
Of course,
these are giants. Yeah. I'm learning. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm learning from them. But I'm also applying something.
Right.
Too, you know. I think one of the scenes started off. I remember Julia Louis-Dreyfus kept laughing because the scene kicked off with me like scratching my throat and ear, and they didn't know what the fuck that was. I just was like, and they was like, "What is he doing? Cut!" And I was like, "No, that's part of it." They're like, "Oh, okay, roll again." Like,
I know what I'm doing.
Julia was like, "What's going on? What?" But yo, that is. But they roll with it or whatever. And so, man, yeah, playing with these giants, giving them something because with me doing that, it made them go, "Oh,
yeah."
And then they start playing, and oh man, and they they geniuses. Yeah. You already know that. That's gods.
There's that scene with Eddie Murphy. I think he's with his kids, like where I'm just like, oh, they're just letting him go. Like I felt like
tell it, right?
I like he's just I mean, that is just my guess.
Yeah.
He was in a restaurant.
Oh yeah, but he's sitting down. Yeah.
I like it. Cause that just seemed like quality Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, no, Kenya's great at that, man. Yeah. Kenya's like, man, if you can roll. And that more directors need to be like that. Like, you know, if we're hiring this comic, we're actually losing if we don't let this comic bring himself to this. We're wasting money.
Yeah.
Yeah, let this comic go.
Otherwise, just hire a robot to say the lines.
Go get you a robot. Go get you some AI shit and have them say it. You know what I mean? Like, so.
That is a tough line to walk, too. Because when you're editing, I think sometimes, you know, you can let someone go off and it's great. But then, you know, I've read about people go, oh, man, you know, they ad-libbed it. It was hilarious.
They
didn't say the one line.
But
also sometimes it just throws off the rhythm of, you know what I mean? Because you have this whole overall movie and and some things can just stick out. So
and that's what I'm saying.
It's tough.
That's what I'm saying. You have to say the guidance. The guidance they give you to say within the line. You make sure. That's the business. You get the business out there.
Yes.
And then you can play. You know what I mean? Like, get them the business and then play. If you can figure out how to play around the line that gets us out of this scene to the next scene, then,
then
you're good.
They'll let you do the throat clearing.
All that.
Which I love hearing about, too, because I've always admired your comedy, Dion, because I feel like you do access a thing that I never expected. And it's, you know, there's people you watch where you're like, oh, that person kind of makes the same joke that I would make. And like, okay, I guess that's funny. But but you always do something else that it's like you zag when I think you're going to zig. And and how do you, where does that come from when you're out there?
It's just trying to be, you know, think outside the box.
Yeah.
You know, comedy's like magic, you know? It's like, if you can't see it coming, that's a great comic.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like, if you can't see
it. I'm looking at that hand.
Surprise.
Yeah.
It's
a surprise, you know? Back in the day, I used to go on stage with a guitar.
You did?
Never play it. I just leave. I do my whole act doing like this.
Oh, would you have your hands up
too? I just do my whole act. And then leave.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Everybody just...
Well, and you're right. Like, it doesn't have to make sense. It just makes you laugh.
I'll bring a flute, whatever's backstage. whatever I see backstage, I'm just grabbing and taking it with me.
You, you used to go out early. I just love you pull out a card and read, but the way you did it was so funny.
Yeah, read
and
my
confident.
Jokes. Yeah.
But it was. I always remember that. That's the first time I was really surprised.
Yeah.
He was like,
I did it on the show, on the Tonight Show.
Yeah,
I did it on there too. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I used to do that back in Chicago when I was so high, I wouldn't be able to remember
so it came
my
out
jokes.
Of necessity.
Yes, it did. Yeah. And then when I remembered, people were like, well, where's the notepad?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I remember my jokes.
That was a joke.
And they're like, no, fuck that.
I don't need this.
Yeah, fuck that. No, we don't want your memory. Read that shit.
Do you find it, because with stand-up, I mean, you often are going to have to do sets many times, you know, and especially like if you're recording a special or something. How do you keep that stuff exciting for yourself? Like if you've got, you know, little magic tricks.
Man, you just have to really write shit that you want to hear.
That you want to hear yourself say.
That you want to hear yourself say.
That you'd like to hear someone else say.
Yeah. Like, you have to write like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when people write songs, you know, they don't put people's, like, their friends' names or something in the song and all of that, because you got to sing this song.
Yeah.
A million goddamn times, right? And how about if y'all not friends no more? Yeah. You still going, you know, shout out to Jake and shit. And just like,
Jake not asshole. Even.
Right, Jake's an asshole. He done took your girlfriend and he's gone to Puerto Rico. So it's like, yo, you don't want to do that. So it's like that with writing material. Like, what do I want to hear myself constantly say that's funny?
Mm-hmm.
Where even more importantly, writing for a reaction that's going to be different everywhere I go. You know, I could say something and it'll be a different reaction everywhere I go. I'll be more in tune with the reaction rather than the joke.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because the reaction is going to keep it fresh to me.
Right. People laughing at a different point.
Yeah. And how they laugh at it and how it relates to different cities and all of that, you know.
Yeah.
I had this joke about Cisco, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one day I went to Baltimore and I did the joke. Forgot he was from Baltimore.
Whoa.
And did the joke, and it was like, boo! And I was like, why they tripping? And I was like, oh, he's from
Cisco
here.
Stands. Yeah.
I was like, where's my smoke bombs at? So
I gotta get
and disappear. Like, yeah,
he
yeah,
is a
but,
magician.
right. But the reaction still, it's like you just never know what the reaction's gonna be.
Right,
you know,
right.
So I try to write like that as well, where I can feel different.
Where you're not sure what the reaction's going to be. Yeah.
Yeah, in a sense, because then that keeps it fresh to me. You know what I mean? The joke is fresh or whatever, but I try to keep writing, period.
It's amazing. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm just curious. I feel like for years, comedians could get by writing a lot less material, and now it's like, well, you got to be working on a fresh hour, right? Isn't that true?
It's so true. You used to be able to do the same material for like five years. Forever back in the day.
Yeah.
Now, with social media, you could do one joke and post it. That joke is gone.
Wow.
You know, like it's going to circle around. And if it go viral or whatever, then that joke is gone. But people are also using those jokes to get the attention of other people going, man, I'm like, that was funny. Who is this guy? And then they go see him. And so you'll see a lot more comedians posting like a joke of theirs or whatever and like putting it out there in order for them to get some type of.
Now they seem to post crowd work.
Yeah, they
that
they
way.
Post,
yeah.
So you're hiding your material.
Now you want to burn your material. Right. So they do that too.
Right.
They post a lot of crowd work to show how funny they are or whatever without burning material or whatever. Yeah, they definitely do that.
That would flip me out getting that, like being a comedian, posting stuff on social media. And then, like, I would not want to read the comments because, like, I don't want.
Yeah.
Like, I remember some comedy clubs had comment cards, and I was like, whoa.
Oh, my God.
I remember that. Like, I would never read them.
Like, I don't want the audience to weigh in on any of this. You know,
I know.
After the fact.
Yeah.
Like, you either did well or you didn't.
You have your memory of it, and that's all you need.
I don't want anyone writing a paragraph about it.
But now, I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, it's like the material now. Like,
and people love to complain. Like,
man,
customers.
My last special I did, my last special, when like all that material is gone. Now right. I'm working on yeah. a whole new hour
okay.
to get like to go tour with and then mm-hmm. then film another special and
right.
I like it's just it's a never ending machine. It's just like yeah. you put it out and boom.
Your last special just came out last year.
Just yeah. came yeah. out and I'm already
wow.
and you just
driving home with no radio and shit.
Oh,
you know, oh just
that's stressful.
Leaving the club, bombing yeah, and shit. Yeah. Like, oh my God, I got a special out right now and I'm
yeah, yeah. But you already feel like you're starting at zero.
Yeah, I'm starting at zero. Yeah, yeah absolutely.
Like you want to do a victory lap? Like,
yeah,
I would
yeah.
think like do some of the stuff you just
a
did
lot
in
of
your
people
special.
Don't know them specials out there. That's the end game. No, you know right. that. It's the right. end game. When you see the special, that was the end of a right. 2-year yes. run of working on material. Right. So when you see that, that's like, yeah,
yeah.
but by the time you see that, mm-hmm. I'm miserable again.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I'm like, here, I don't have no, I'm jokeless. Yeah. I have yeah, no yeah. jokes.
Weird.
I'm out here like, wow.
Jokes so poor, yeah.
Totally
yeah.
self-imposed.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's where I'm at now. You know, mm-hmm. people going, man, I love your last special. Right. And I'm like this, thank you.
Yeah.
I can't,
like that was
I can't perform right
ago.
Now. Yeah, I'm like, I'm working on material now, whatever. And so, yeah, just trying to put it together, man. And you're, but like you said, it's hard now. It's like, you got to keep
way,
jokes.
Right?
And yeah, there's yeah, so yeah. many comedians, too,
yeah.
that it's like, you got to like stay, you got to stay
right,
fresh
right.
and you got to be on top of it and you got to like just stay out there, you know, and, yeah. You know, live in order to write.
Right.
And
that's
the comedy.
Oh,
good.
Yeah. No, just finding time to like come up with new experiences to get material from.
Yeah. And that's a lot of, a lot of comedians make it big and now they can't live. So
right.
therefore,
yeah.
they don't have no.
They
just have to write. Yeah,
with a lot of people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they make
talk
it big.
About being famous.
Yeah, they
which
talk
is
about
hard.
Being famous.
Right, right.
Or they talk about what's in the news.
Uh huh.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And it's
because
not personal
and
anymore.
It's not personal yeah. no more. Yeah. You know, what I mean? And I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
But
it's different.
It's different, and that's yeah. all that I'm saying. Like, you should talk about shit in the news, definitely. But if your whole set is that. It's
right.
like
yeah,
it's
right.
that's the problem I have. I'd be like, I still want to hear about your personal life,
yeah, yeah,
though. I
yeah.
want to hear what you did today, or
right.
what you
mm-hmm.
eat, what you
right.
ate, or
right.
you know how your kids
yeah.
doing,
of
or whatever. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I want to hear that. So it's a mixture of what you should have. You know what I mean? So.
And you also need all that stage time, like you're saying. Like you can't, good comics just perform all. I don't yeah. know if people think about it, but people are like going into small clubs every night
yeah.
and just.
Every
hacking
night. That's
it out.
The job.
It's the
people
job.
People don't even know that it ain't the special.
Mm-hmm.
The special
yeah.
was the end of it. The
right.
job
right.
is every night being in a club, every night, away from your family, performing jokes, seeing what work, what don't, dealing with assholes, dealing with clubs, traffic, driving,
yeah, like
pumping
you said,
gas,
driving home with no radio.
Driving home with no radio, dealing with the club, waiting on stage
yeah.
time, being nervous, wondering if it's going to work. If it don't,
mm-hmm.
am I going to keep it, throw it away? I got to write some new shit. It's just, it's a never-ending process of your mind,
yeah.
man.
Mm-hmm.
And people that love you and that surrounds you, they have to understand that, you
right,
know, that
right.
this is a process
that
you...
It is
that is an illness.
What you're describing...
That's funny as
doesn't,
shit.
I'm like, is this covered under our health care?
Yeah.
I'm a comedian. I need treatment.
It really should be, man.
Why don't you just stay home and listen to the radio? Oh, yeah. What do you mean? Don't go out every night? And
okay. I can't help it. I would be doing anything else if I could.
Why don't you stay home with that guy in there?
How's your son? He's okay. Our son's a comedian.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I thought they had pills for that.
Is your son doing comedy?
No.
Oh, yeah, okay. No. Good job. Good job,
yeah,
Dad.
Congrats.
Good job.
I know. Congrats. Right. Yes. No.
He's doing sex.
Sex sounds.
Like German sex sounds.
Yes.
Hey, you have a new show coming out.
You
we
got to
wrap
know.
Up. But,
yes.
But you have a brand new show coming out. This
yeah,
is exciting.
On
BET
it.
Plus.
I do.
Called Average Joe.
Average Joe.
You can brag about it.
Yes.
You play a plumber in
above
Pittsburgh.
Average.
Yes. It's called Average Joe, comedically dark.
Ooh.
It said a dark comedy.
Yeah, it's like ooh, a, it's yeah, like a darkly comedic okay type of.
Yeah. Does that mean there's murder?
Yes, plenty of it. Plenty murder. Okay. Yeah, ooh. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's fun too. It's coming on BET Plus, man. It's, yeah, it's, yeah, it's just good to play a character that can be funny, serious, dramatic. Like everything, just vulnerable, you know, and like all in one, you know. And this guy here is something else, man. You know, he's just caught up in a bad mix, man. And he has to get his way out of it. And yeah, every week he's just trying to get out of it, man. Trying to get out of this situation. So yeah, it drops June 26th on BET Plus and Paramount Plus, both of those. And yeah, man, I can't wait for everybody to see it, man. Please check
it's
it
great
out.
Great.
Yeah.
Let me
know.
Well,
it'll be like good writer strike content.
Yeah.
One of the only things out. All, I know, it's that it got all done.
And early enough where they could edit it.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so glad, man. I'm so glad.
Timing.
Yeah. We got it right in, right on time. And I'll be touring soon. And at the end of the year, I'm in Color Purple.
What?
Wow. Oh, my God.
Wait, like on stage?
No.
Oh.
The movie.
Oh, the movie. There's a movie coming out. Oh, wow.
Yeah, they redid it.
Oh, wow.
With Steven Spielberg, executive producer.
Wow.
Oprah Winfrey, executive producer.
Is Oprah doing a cameo?
Yeah, you heard of those? No, she doesn't.
Okay.
No. But it's a lot of good surprises in it.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Oh, that's great. And when's that coming out?
Yeah, it comes out Christmas.
It's a dark comedy.
Wow.
Come out Christmas. It's a dark comedy. The Color Purple. There's a little twist to it now. Yeah, it's a little funny to it. Nah. Yeah, so that'd be out.
Wow.
And then the big thing you have
to, oh my God,
to
you're
going to
EGOT
about
this year. Oh.
The EGOT?
Yeah, that's right.
Wanna be EGOT.
In 1 year, that's the new goal. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what
I
want.
Everyone else, just tell everyone to be sure to tune into Moonburn.
Moonburn
is
going to be coming
soon to it. You don't know the frequency yet, but you'll find it when
Moonburn
you need it.
Moonburn is going to be. This is Keith Sweat singing. Let's just never finish my sentence. Never finish my sentence.
You don't have to.
A whole show. Just.
That's the Moonburn.
That's the Moonburn show, right?
Gotcha.
No, it'd be great though, man. But thank you all, man.
Thank you, Dion. I know.
Dion, thank you very much.
We'll only have you on 8 more times.
Yes, and that's fine. Yeah. Please.
Thank you for coming in.
Please. Thank you.
It's really good to see you
again.
And I love how much you have going on.
Thank you so much, man. And yeah, anytime, man. Oh, hit me up, man. Let's go. All right? Love you.
See you on the moonbeams.
See you. Burn.
The moon
burn. I'm just playing.
Thank you to Dion Cole for joining us. Always a pleasure having him in the studio.
Yeah, he's great. And some great advice, too.
He did. Yeah. I know.
For life. Forget about work.
For sure. I took that to heart for the next 15 minutes.
I did too.
After the interview.
And I'm right back to my old ways. And we have a listener question.
Oh, good.
As always. Hi, Mike and Jesse. My name is Ryan, a regular listener from London.
Oh.
Ontario, cheerio, probably. But maybe England. One of my favorite Conan remotes is when Jenny from Santa University taught Conan how to be a department store Santa. Just, wow, that's going back. Just wondering if there really is a Santa University. How many of them are there? Did you visit any of them? Is there an Ivy League of Santa universities?
Is there a Harvard?
That's right. Can you flunk out? So many questions. Would love to hear more about it. Cool. Really enjoy the podcast. Thanks. Well, thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. I've never seen this remote.
Oh, it's a very funny remote. Save it for the holidays or you watch it for the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny.
It'll
anytime
hold up.
This was done in 2002.
Oh, yeah.
So it was back in late night and Christmas time. Andrew Weinberg was the writer on it.
Mm-hmm.
And to answer the question, that there isn't really a... Well, she claims she ran Santa University, but she for 3 decades, I think, trained hundreds and hundreds of Santas across the country.
Wow.
Yeah. She just started it out in one little region and it just...
Yeah.
people are like, oh, it's if you want a good Santa.
Specialization, yeah.
Yes, yes. She just was self-taught. She just instinctively knew, you know, what a Santa what should do or not takes. Do. And so she was recommended to us, I think, maybe through Saks Fifth Avenue, which was right across from mm-hmm. our 30 Rock.
It seems like they would have a good
yes,
upscale Santa.
Yes, they'd have the
nothing but the best.
They're from the Harvard of Santa U's. So, yeah, Conan met with her, and he's great when he's dealing with authority figures.
Right.
And she was very, like, no nonsense. Uh-huh. Like, no. Uh-huh. Like anything he did wrong.
She's like a pageant consultant.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
That's great.
So they were good together, mm-hmm. You might say.
Was he a good Santa?
Not in her eyes.
Yeah.
But in the eye of the viewer, perhaps the greatest Santa of our time.
No. I don't think Conan would make a good Santa. He's not.
No.
He's well, not. First of all, he's too bony.
Very
he's
bony.
He's not soft to sit on, I don't
no,
think.
No, not cuddly.
No.
Which might be good, actually, maybe because you want to move the kids through fast.
That's true. So, you don't want too comfortable of a lap.
Right. Like, yeah. Get the hell off the lap. And so maybe the bony is.
That's true.
Maybe that's the way to go going forward, you know, in this fast-paced world.
Yeah.
But yes, too bony.
And he seems judgmental.
Very judgmental of all
their wishes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's assuming he even listens to them.
Right.
He's probably...
He's probably telling you his wishes.
Exactly. He's probably telling you all the stuff he didn't get it for
yeah.
Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So why
and
should
how much,
you get it?
How, yeah, resentful he is of his fifth Christmas.
Exactly. You're right. Not a good Santa. So,
no, not jolly.
No, but that's all the info.
You know, I yes. remember hearing oh, yeah. once, maybe this was an episode of This American Life, right. but we were talking about unions mm-hmm. at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
I think there is a union for all those department store Santas.
Oh, that does sound like a... David Sedaris would know.
Yeah. No, maybe it was a David Sedaris.
Right,
piece.
Right.
Yeah, so I think they all unionized at some point.
Oh, that's great.
I know. So I
wonder
I'm going to look that up.
If they've ever gone on strike.
Right?
Yes. How do we get onto this?
I don't know. We're talking about
Santa
Santas.
University.
Santa University.
So anyway, yes, Jen. I looked up her name. It's Jen Zink.
Zink.
Z-I-N-K.
What a great name.
And she lives in Nevada, I believe.
Yeah.
Cody, Nevada is the last.
Do you think she's retired from Santa consultation?
She seemed like she was ready to retire after dealing with Conan. And that was in 2002. I saw a photo of her in 2022 in Cody, Wyoming. And we found a phone number and we tried it. But there it was disconnected. So I don't know. Yeah. God, maybe she's become Mrs.
Us.
Santa and is living in the North Pole.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
That seems like the
well,
next
we'll write her a letter. We'll okay. send your letter along, Ryan.
Okay. Thanks, Ryan. And please keep those questions coming in. You can email us.
Yes, please do.
At insideconanpod@gmail.com or call us at 323-209-1079.
I say this every time, but we will not answer the phone. I would be terrified to call if I thought someone would answer, and don't worry.
I would
There's
happily
not anybody answering. Yeah.
If there is a burner phone with that number on it, I would happily carry it around. I will
you
answer.
You would? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Can you get me a burner phone? I'll carry it.
All right, call day or night. And
okay,
Mike
and
will
I will
answer
the phone. Ugh, what have I just what have I just agreed to? I'd consider it.
Well, and if you like the show and if you like Mike's sacrifice. You can support us
sacrifice.
By rating Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast on iTunes, and leaving us a review. There's one more thing I want to say.
We collectively love you.
We do. With our collective bargaining power. Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell.
Mm-hmm. Our producer is Lisa Burr.
Team Coco's executive producers are Adam Sachs, Jeff Ross, and Nick Liao.
Engineered and mixed by Joanna Samuel.
Our talent bookers are Gina Batista and Paula Davis with assistance from Maddie Ogden.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan or an enemy. On Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.
I'm not going to tell you what to do. do.
Put on your hat, it's the Conan Show. Try on some spats, you're gonna have a laugh. Give birth to a calf, it's Conan!
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.